Good evening to all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank our Heavenly Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving this opportunity to discuss His wonderful words of life. So, last few weeks, we've been studying about the call of the new creation from the sixth volume, so chapter number 3. So, we have been studying till page number 97. So, we'll continue from page number 97. Where we were studying that Christ is our wisdom. So, Joel brother, can you read page number 97, the last paragraph, in order to have a hearing ear? Can you read the paragraph?
Good brother.
Okay.
In order to have a hearing ear for the wisdom that cometh from above, an earnest condition of heart is necessary. We must possess a measure of humility, else we will think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and we fail to discern our own weakness, blameless unworthiness from the divine standpoint. We need also to have a certain amount of honesty or candor to be willing to admit, to acknowledge the defects seen by the humble mind. Looking from this standpoint, those who long for righteousness and harmony with God are pointed by the Lord's providence to Jesus as the Savior. However, imperfectly at first, any may understand the philosophy of the atonement accomplished for us. They must at least grasp the fact that they were by nature children of wrath, even as others sinners, that Christ's sacrifice was a righteousness one, and that God provided and accepted it on our behalf, that through his stripes we may be healed, through his providence we may be accepted of the Father, our sins being recognized as laid upon him and borne by him, and his righteousness and merit recognized and as applicable to us for a robe of righteousness. We must see this. Christ must thus be made unto us wisdom before we can act upon the knowledge, and by hearty acceptance of his merit be justified before the Father and accept and sanctified and by delivered and glorified. But Christ does not cease to be our wisdom when the next step is taken and he becomes our justification. No, we still need him as our wisdom, our wise counselor. Under his guidance, we need to see the wisdom of making a full consecration and the wisdom of following up that consecration in a life of sanctification to the doing of the Father's will. In every step that we take, wisdom is the principal thing. All through the life of consecration or sanctification, at every step of the journey to the heavenly city, we need the wisdom which cometh from above, which the apostle describes, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be interacted, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James 3:17. Earthly wisdom operates along the lines of selfness, self-will, self-esteem, self-righteousness, self-sufficiency. And as the apostle points out, these things lead to bitter in vain the strife, because his wisdom, instead of being from above, is earthly, sensual, devilish. The heavenly wisdom, on the contrary, in harmony with the divine character of love, which vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up, behave not itself unseemly, rejoiceth not in equity, but rejoice in the truth.
Thank you, Jalvada. So we read in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter 30th verse, where he says that Christ is made into us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and deliverance. So wisdom, why wisdom is important? Last time we saw is that without wisdom, there is a possibility that we may err and we may choose a wrong path. So last time we saw an example of Mother Eve, though she was perfect, because of lack of wisdom, proper guidance, you see, she chose a wrong path in a desire to seek more wisdom. When the, you see, devil spoke to the serpent, where he said that you will be like God. She thought that you will be more wise than God. So is the desire for wisdom, she chose a wrong course. So hence, wisdom is very, very important. So to get this wisdom, it is one more criteria is very, very important. What is that one? If you see, humility. You see, humility in a sense that we realize our weaknesses, that we realize that we are blemishes, we realize that we are sinners. And in this this one, we need to be very honest with the Lord that we are not wise of ourselves. So we lack the necessary wisdom, you see, to walk in another way. So hence, in this sincere heart, if we seek to the Lord, you see, he will definitely give us the sufficient of knowledge and wisdom from the scriptures. So the basic thing of, you see, accepting wisdom, accepting Jesus as a wisdom, is that realize that we are sinners. And it is only because of the Christ sacrifice that we are able to approach the throne of grace and mercy, that our sins are forgiven. So in that way only, initially Christ is made as wisdom. And this will continue, you see, until our death. So next step, you see, consecration and justification, still Christ remains the wisdom. So that means he is the wonderful counselor for us. He guides us through the scriptures. You see, there is one verse in Psalms 23, you know. Can somebody read Psalms 23? Psalms 23, verses 1 to 5. Psalms 23. Anybody?
Verse, brother?
You can read verse 4.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
See, the rod and the staff, they comfort me. So, the God's rod and staff, they comfort me. What is this rod? Rod is generally the thing that is used to correct, you see, and instruct and chastise them. You see, but chastisement, does it comfort us? No, never. But this verse, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, These are the instructions from the scriptures. These are the chastisements which God gives us when He is correcting us. So, this way, Christ is our wisdom. Through the scriptures, He guides us, He molds us, so that we may be of His image. How is this wisdom? Let us read James 3:17. James 3rd chapter 17th verse. Amar brother, can you read James 3:17, brother?
Okay, James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be interpreted, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without
partiality.
hypocrisy.
Good. Okay. So, this wisdom, that is the truth which God has given us. How is the truth? If you see, it clearly says it is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So, God has given us the truth, the wisdom through Christ. And how is the truth? How is the wisdom which God has given us? You see, it is full of all these good things. But if we compare this worldly wisdom, how is the worldly wisdom? It is completely selfish, self-righteous, self-sufficient. That means completely it is immersed of selfishness. You see, and because of the selfishness, the character of the devil, you see, the lot of bitterness, envy, wrath, you see, arises when we use the wisdom of this world. Hence, wisdom that comes from high is totally different and opposite against to the wisdom of this world. Okay, now let us study further about how this different types of character that is mentioned about wisdom is given us in the volumes based on James 3:17. Okay, now let us read the next paragraph. Next paragraph, Muna sister, you're there. Can you read?
Okay, brother. There is order in the operation of this wisdom, too, for while it takes hold upon all the conditions mentioned by the Apostle James above, there is a difference in the rank it assigned to each. While the spirit of wisdom from above is peaceable, desires peace and seeks to promote it, nevertheless, it does not put peace first, but purity first pure, then peaceable. It is earthly wisdom which suggests peace at any price and commands the conscience to be still that selfish peace may be promoted. The wisdom that is pure is simple, is guileless, honorable, open. It loves the light. It is not of darkness, of sin, nor favorable to anything that needs to be hidden. It recognizes the hidden works as usual works of darkness, the secret things as usually evil things. It is peaceable so far as would be consistent with honesty and purity. It desires peace, harmony, unity. But since peace is not first, therefore it can only be morally at peace and fully in harmony with those things which are honest, pure, and good.
Thank you, sister. So here, it has the character of this wisdom, the truth. You see, the wisdom, the truth which God has given us. What is the first character? It says, what is the first character that we observe in the verse? James 3:17. How is the wisdom? First, it is what? Pure or peace?
Pure.
Pure. You see, first it is a purity, the purity of the truth. Then only comes peace. You see, why God has put purity first? Why God has given importance for purity? If you see in the world, you see, the worldly wisdom is first composed of peace. That means whatever may be the situation, whatever may be the circumstances, it tries to compromise with purity. Even though it is impure, they try to accept it. You see, even though it is false, even though the matter is concealed with lot of evil things, evil intentions, you see, the people try to remain silent. Why? Because that is benefiting to them. Therefore, in the world, the worldly wisdom is first of all peaceful. Like, for example, if you take a concept of a marriage, how do they marry in the world? You see, do they tell the whole truth and marry somebody in the world? No. You see, they tell 1,000 lies and marry. After marriage only, they will realize so many things and all, and unnecessary, what will happen? You see, the peace of the family gets disturbed. So, there, telling lies and doing something is for the sake of peace. You see, even in the case of politics, you see, somebody will be committing corruption, but others will remain silent. Why? Because if they oppose, what will happen? They will lose that peaceful condition. You see, they will lose their reputation. They might even lose their privileges of job also. So hence, they try to remain as much silent as possible. So they try to maintain the peaceful nature, you see, so that they may go well with them. That's what was the condition when Jesus came at the first advent. Everybody were completely immersed in their own sinful activities. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they utilized this opportunity very wonderfully, you see, and completely, you see, blinded the people of Israel. You see, what was pure was not at all projected. They tried to live a peaceful life in the midst of false. You see, in the midst of lies. You see, this is not the case of the wisdom, the truth that comes from above. You see, the Bible says the truth that comes from above is first pure. You see, then only peaceful. Jesus, when he first spoke in the temple, what did he spoke? He spoke about Isaiah 61st chapter. He told that this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. That means he was claiming to be the Messiah. You see, that was the truth he spoke. You see, it was pure. It was not filled with any hypocrisy, any magic words, any mismeaning words, good polished words, nothing. He spoke directly to them from the scriptures and told indirectly that this is he himself is the Messiah and this scriptures is fulfilled in your ears. But the people did not accept it. Some people accepted it, but majority of them did not accept it. They even wanted to kill him by pushing him from the top of the mountain. But what did Jesus do? Jesus never revolted them, nor he tried to calm them, saying, "You have misunderstood the scriptures. This is what I have spoke. Let us sit calmly. Let us sit, discuss, and all those things." Why? Because Jesus boldly spoke the truth, but that truth was not digested by those system. So he never tried to compromise with the truth, which was pure, just for the sake of peace. You see, so peace desired in a wrong way would never obtain as peace. So the wisdom first always is pure. You see, God's children should always be sincere, always be pure. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, no, Jesus said, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. That means God's children should be very clear and truthful people. You see, therefore, this wisdom God is giving us through Jesus Christ. And there is no corruption. You see, nothing is there in that one. You see, we have studied so many basic subjects now. Huh? How did we see the basic subjects? The subject about, you see, soul, it is very pure. You see, just because to please everybody, God did not change that soul is immortal. He was very clear. Soul dies means soul clearly dies. Then there was this question, hell, what was hell? You see, everybody believes that hell is a place of torment. But the Bible clearly, purely presents that hell is a place of death. It is not a place of torture. So, there was no compromise to please somebody, please a Christian denomination. No, the truth is very pure. So, similarly, God's children should be very clear and pure when it comes to the matter of the truth, because Christ is the wisdom. God has given us this truth through Jesus Christ. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Amar brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. This heavenly wisdom is gentle, not coarse, rough, either it in its plan or methods. Its gentleness nevertheless follows its purity and peaceableness. Those who possess it are not primarily gentle and then pure and peaceable, but first or primarily pure, sanctified with the truth. They are desirous of peace and disposed to promote it. Therefore, they are gentle and easy to be introvert, but they can only be easily introvert in harmony with the purity. Peace and gentleness, they cannot be easily introvert to assist in any evil works, for the spirit of heavenly wisdom forbids such of course. Heavenly wisdom is a
okay. Thank you, Amrabha. Thank you. So, the next chapter is that the heavenly wisdom is gentle. Gentle means what? It is not forceful upon somebody. You see, whoever listens to the truth, you see, the truth is very gentle. You see, it's a very simple truth, very pure truth, but it's very gentle on the people who listen to it. You see, it is never compelling. See, like for example, we all know that we need to believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. But God doesn't compel anybody. That God, you see, forces somebody that you believe in Jesus, you see, his blood cleanses of all your sins. You see, no, God doesn't force anybody. Lot of scriptures in the Bible, it says, he that believes in Jesus, their sins are forgiven. Even Apostle Paul clearly said, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12, 1, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So there's no compulsion, there's no force. You see, the truth is never forceful. It is very gentle. It is a condition. If you want to do, you do it. See, a lot of people during the days of Jesus, they all received miracles through Jesus Christ. Thousands of people, Bible is given. But how many of these thousands of people followed the Lord? You see, a huge crowd was always behind him. But once what happened, what did Jesus say? He put the condition of disciples to them. You see, read Luke 14 chapter. Luke 14 chapter, anybody who can read? Luke 14 chapter, verse 25, 26. Luke 14 chapter, 25, 26.
Okay, brother. 25 and 26. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and
Okay,
hate
sir.
not
Thank
his
you. So here a great multitude was coming. He turned to them and said, if any man come after me, conditions are there. He never said, you have to do this one. This is the condition. No. If any man, if you want to come, do this one. But there is no compulsion. It is very gentle. A rich young ruler, Matthew 19 chapter. He came and asked the Lord, no, Master, I'm keeping this commandments. You see, I'm doing everything. But what is there that I lack to obtain eternal life? And Jesus said to keep the commandments. He claimed that he kept the commandments even from the childhood. That he was flawless. He committed no mistake at all. But Jesus said, you lack one thing. You sell all that you have and give it to the poor and follow me. But what did the rich man do? You see, the rich young man, he went away very sad because he was very rich. But again, Jesus did not sit with him and try to convince him, a good offer, he's a rich person. If I go and convince him, a rich student will come, a rich disciple might come, a lot of works has to be done. So he never thought in such a way. He never compelled, he never forced. It was a very gentle thing. You see, if any man desires to come, he may deny himself, carry the cross and follow me. So this truth is to be a very gentle one, not upon force. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, who will read? Joel brother read. Muna sister read. Our brother, okay, Rome sister, you haven't read, no?
Okay, yes, brother, I'll okay. read.
Yeah, please.
Heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. It rejoices in mercy, which it sees to be an essential element of the divine character. It is to copy. Mercy and all good fruits of the Holy Spirit of the Lord are sure to proceed from and be thoroughly refined and developed in an heart which is illustrated with the wisdom from above. But this mercy, while taking hold of the ignorant and unessential evildoers with sympathy and helps, cannot have sympathy or afflictions with awful wrong orders. Because the spirit of wisdom is not first mercy, but first pure. Hence, the mercy of this wisdom can only exercise itself fully towards
unintentional
or ignorant wrongdoers.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So, this truth is full of mercy and good fruits. What is mercy? In the book of James, it says, he that shows mercy shall obtain mercy. You see? So, mercy is a very important character. Just imagine if somebody doesn't listen to our truth. So, what are we going to do to them? Nothing. We just show mercy. And in God's kingdom, they will rise up. They will come and listen to the truth. So, the truth is full of mercy. God has no punishment to them. But with now, whose eyes of understanding has been enlightened, you see, it is very, very cautious. You see, God takes into account their intentional mistakes. You see, intentional faults. You see, in those cases, you see, mercy never comes to picture. So there, God gives them the necessary chastisement and corrects them and brings to the, you see, truth. Hence, mercy can be shown only with the unintentional wrongdoers. You see, therefore, mercy is very important. You see, Jesus, he showed mercy to whom? The tax collectors, the wine bibbers, the gluttonous people, the fornicators. But did he show the same mercy to the Pharisees and Sadducees? No. Why? Because these people who sinned, committed fornication, other types of sins, they were ignorant. They were so degraded and fallen into sin that their eyes were not opened. They could not realize, you see, how gross was their sin. But yet, they had a good heart to return to the Lord. But what about the Pharisees and Sadducees? They knew very well clearly what they were supposed to do and what actually they were doing. So there is no question of, you see, clearing them of their visible sinful things. So hence, the truth was not of good fruits of mercy to them. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, okay, Gobal brother is here. Gobal brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. This heavenly wisdom is declared to be without partiality. Partiality would imply injustice, and the purity and peace and gentleness and mercy and the good fruits of the spirit of wisdom from above led us to be no longer respecters of persons, except as character demonstrates their real value. The outward features of the natural man, the color of the skin, etc., are ignored by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom which cometh from above. It is impartial and desires that which is pure, peaceable, gentle, true, wherever found and under whatever circumstances exhibited.
Okay, thank you, brother. So, the truth is without partiality. Partiality, no? Partiality means what? Injustice. There's a lot of partiality everywhere. Go to school, the first time student will always be given the privilege. You see, what about other people? They'll be, you see, given, shown partiality. Even in the house, you see, if a two child are there, one who is very favorite, they'll be given special privileges. Favoritism will be shown. Why? Partiality. But when it comes to the truth, there should be no partiality. You see, just because he's very beautiful, get attracted to them, or give special favors to them. No. Just because their color, you see, or a, what do you say, nationality or futures, or you see, some of the things they follow might be different. It doesn't mean that you hate them. You see, yeah. So this is a character which each and every consecrator should develop without partiality. You see, when the church is complete, 1,44,000 are seated upon the throne of God. So who all people will be there? All types of people will be there. They will be gathered all over the world. It's not only in India. It's not only in America. It's not only in Nepal. It's not only in Sri Lanka. But all over the world. Think about various types of people. You see, various categories of people. If they may come from Thailand, they come from Japan, you see, they can come from Australia, they can come from China, Russia, Africa, various people, dear brother, various types of temperament, various type of characters, various type of background, various types of looks. So our, you see, character should never be partial. Why? Because they have some particular creed, because they are some particular nation, or because of their particular color. You see, because God himself is not partial. You see, when he is giving the truth, did he show any partiality? No, I'm going to give only this truth, only to the beautiful people who look very beautiful, very grand, like Miss World, Miss Universe. Did he say? No. God has given this truth to the drowned, trodden people. The sinners, he has not shown any partiality. But he has shown grace to the broken heart. So similarly, you see this truth, the truth whoever receives this one, they should be without partiality. You see, so impartial. That's what the truth that comes from both is first pure, peaceable, gentle, full with all of good fruits and without partiality. Just because somebody, you see, just because I give you money, you don't show favor to me. You see, that is also partiality. No favoritism, no partiality. When it comes to the truth, you see, there is no compromise at all. You see, okay, next paragraph. Okay, next paragraph. Muna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. This wisdom from above is furthermore without hypocrisy. It is so pure, so peaceable, so gentle, so merciful toward all that there is no necessity for hypocrisy where it is in control. But it is bound to be out of harmony, out of sympathy, out of fellowship with all that is sinful, because it is in fellowship, in sympathy with all that is pure or that is making for purity, peace and gentleness. And under such condition, there is no room for hypocrisy.
Okay, continue, sir. You can continue and finish the next paragraph also.
Heavenly wisdom, in respect to all these matters, God has given us through His Son, not only in the message of His redemptive work, but also in His exhibition of the graces of the Spirit and of obedience to the Father, thus instructing us both by word and example. Moreover, this wisdom from above comes to us through the apostles as Christ representatives through their teachings, as well as through all those who have received this spirit of wisdom from above and who daily seek to let their light so shine as to glorify their Father in heaven.
Thank you, sister. So this truth at last is without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means what? You see, hypocrisy means just to show outwardly. Actually, inside it will be something, but outside it will be something. You know, best example of hypocrisy is that you go to the market. You see, where a lot of things will be on display. Some things will be really fake item, but they will be genuinely shown in such a way that a very, very good item. And we will be deceived. You see, we'll give a lot of money to them and try to bring it and get to the home. But after using it, then we will come to know it's a real value, it's a fake item. You see, how disheartened we'll become. You see, because of hypocrisy. So similarly, you see, hypocrisy should not be among the God's children. Because God, truth, doesn't have any hypocrisy. You see, God, when he is giving the truth, inside the truth, there is no some hidden agenda. You see, there is nothing, something hidden around and something God wants to portray something. No, nothing. It is very clear, very pure, very frank. You see, there is nothing hidden agenda. So similarly, God's children who receive this truth, they should not be hypocrites. You see, Jesus condemned the hypocrites, no? Whom did he call as hypocrites, if you see in the Bible? He called the Pharisees and Sadducees as hypocrites. He compared them to the whitewashed sepulcher. He compared them to the cup which is washed only outside, but inside is full of filthiness. You see, because they were hypocrites. They dressed to be very smart, very clean, very super, and very behaved very politely. Only in behavior, just to show. But actually, inwardly, they were never like that at all. So, this hypocrisy should not be in us. Therefore, then, you see, this truth This wisdom God is giving us through Christ, and Christ dispenses it through the apostles. Remember the subject of Zechariah? You see, the book of Zechariah, you heard the subject of the vision of the, you see, seven lampstand. You see, there was a two olive tree on the side and this side. You see, and in between there was a lampstand. You see, in Zechariah 4th chapter, we read, no? Two olive trees, those are called the two anointed ones. In between, there was a lampstand with seven lamps, you see. And there was a golden bowl on the top, you see. And through two pipes, the oil was emptied from the olive tree to the golden bowl. And from the golden bowl, seven pipes, you see, is to come to the, you see, candlestick. And hence, light is to go. So God gives us the Holy Spirit, the understanding from the Bible. Through whom? Does he give directly to us? No, the bowl. The bowl is Jesus Christ. From Old Testament, New Testament, two pipes, oil is emptied into Jesus Christ. From Jesus Christ, who is head of the church, hence he is above the lampstand. From Jesus Christ, through seven pipes, the seven angels. Apostle Paul, Apostle John, you see, John Wycliffe, Peter Waldo, you see. So all these seven angels, you see, seven angels, through the seven angels, we've been receiving this truth. Okay, now let us come to the next subheading, Christ, our justification. Okay, now this is a big paragraph. Okay, now I'll request brother, okay, brother Gopal, brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. Christ, our justification. We have already, to some extent, discussed the atonement between God and man, in which our Lord Jesus was made unto all those who accept him justification. But here we want to examine more particularly the meaning of this common word, justification, which seems to be but imperfectly understood by the majority of the Lord's people. The primary thought in the word justification is, first, justice or the standard of right. Second, that something is out of accord with that standard, not up to its requirements. Third, the bringing of the person or a thing that is deficient up to the proper or just standard. As illustration of this would be a pair of balances or scales, or the one side a weight would represent justice, on the other side something representing human evidence should be found, or equal weight to balance justice. This is more or less deficient in all, and the deficiency requires to be compensated for by having something added to it in order to its justification or balancing. Applying this illustration more particularly, we see Adam as originally created, perfect, in harmony with God and obedient to him. This was his right, proper, just condition in which he should have continued. But through sin, he came under divine sentence and was straightway rejected as being no longer up to the divine standard. Since then, his posterity, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, have come forth to life on a still lower plane than their father Adam, still further from the standard required by divine justice. This being considered, it is unless for any of Adam's posterity to ask the Creator for a fresh balancing or trial to see whether or not he could come up to the standard in finite justice. We concede that such a trial would be absolutely useless, that if the perfect man by disobedience forfeited his standing, we who are imperfect, fallen, deprived, could have no hope of meeting the requirements of justice or of balancing ourselves, justifying ourselves before God. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. wherein our race was originally created representatively in Father Adam.
Thank you, brother. So yeah, Christ of justification. Almost one page. But anyway, we shortly try to understand what is the meaning of justification. Justification. Justification means what? You see, now primarily, the first thing is the word justification. I don't know what it calls in Nepali. But in Hindi, they tell us niti. Okay? So, justification means what? That word actually means to make it just. That means what? To make it a proper condition. Justice or a standard of right. That means something is there that has become imperfect, you see, or fallen from the standard. And now again to bring back to that original standard, that is called as justification. You see, something that is which is out of its way, but again to bring it back to the original condition, that is a justification. You see, to bring back a person who is deficient to a just condition, a proper condition. Okay, like for example, if you give example in your understanding, now Nepal, see what happened? Just few weeks before, everything was destroyed. You see, they demolished and burned so many of government offices. Now, to bring it back to the original condition, it is not so easy. So you need to do something. You need to spend something. You need to add something to bring back that physical condition in which Nepal was. So what you need to do? You need to spend something. You need to add something. That is called as justification. And here in this volume, Brother Russell gives a beautiful example of a weighing scale. You know, on the weighing scale, there will be two balances, no? You see, the weighing scale. One, actually, it should be equal. That is called as just. Okay, that's the correct condition. Just condition, perfect condition. So, when Adam sinned, what happened? Adam fell from the grace of God. He was created perfect. But when he disobeyed God, what happened? That scale of justice, the God scale of justice, became imbalance. Adam fell down. You see, now to bring him back to the original position of perfection, what did God do? God added the redemption of Jesus Christ. God added the price of Jesus Christ, the ransom sacrifice. So what happened? You see, the balance, the way balance that was imperfect, it raised again, became just. That is the simple understanding of justification. Okay, dear brethren. So this one we studied in the ransom class. Here also brother mentions about we studied in detail in the fifth volume. So there also in the fifth volume, this topic is detailedly given in the subject of ransom. We have studied in the subject of ransom, how the whole mankind were fallen into sin. It is because of the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. You see, as a second Adam, he redeemed the first Adam as a second Adam. So, second Adam, you see, redeemed the first Adam. So, what happened? The entire mankind are today brought to the perfection. This is the meaning, simple meaning of justification. And this justification, none of the people of this world could redeem Adam. None of the people of this world could pay a ransom to Adam. Not even the animals, not even the sacrifice of bulls and goats, not even the angels. You see, so none of them could give a ransom to Adam or redeem Adam to justify Adam. This was done only by Jesus Christ. Hence, 1 Corinthians 1st chapter, it tells Jesus is our justification. We have become just. You see, we were sinners, but we were become just. We have become correct. We have brought to the proper standard only because of whom? Jesus Christ. Okay. So this is the simple explanation. I think that's sufficient. Okay. Next paragraph. Next paragraph we'll read. Okay. Joel brother, can you read this paragraph?
Okay, brother. If then we see that as a race we are all unjust, all unrighteousness, all imperfect, and if we see too that none can by any works meet the requirements of justice, we see assuredly that none could give to God a ransom for his brother, Psalm 49:7. None could make up the deficiency for another, because not only has he no surplus of merit or weight or virtue to apply to another, but he has not even enough for himself. For all have sinned and come short, we asked, therefore, can God accept and deal with the unjust, the fallen ones? He who already has condemned them and declared them unworthy of his favor, and that they shall die as unworthy of life. He shows us that he has a way of doing this, a way by which he may still be just and yet be the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. He shows that he has appointed Christ the mediator of the new covenant, and that Christ has bought the world with his own precious blood sacrifice, and that in due time, during the millennial age, Christ will take to himself his great power and reign as the King of earth, and bless all the families of the earth with a knowledge of the truth and with a opportunity for restitution to the image of God as represented in Father Adam, and fortify by the experience of the fall and of the recovery this work of bringing back mankind to perfection will be the work of justification, actually making perfect as distinguished from our justification, or justification by faith imputed to the church during the gospel, as actual justification will start with the beginning of our Lord's millennial reign and will progress step by step until every man shall have had the fullest opportunity for return to all that was lost through Father Adam, with added experience that will be helpful. Thank God for that period of actual justification, actual making right, actual bringing of the willing and obedient of the race from imperfection to perfection, physically, mentally, morally.
Thank you, brother. So we saw that justification. You see, nobody can justify any other human being because all are sinners. What does the Bible say? How many people are righteous in this world? Romans 3:10, it clearly says, there's not even one righteous. So if all are sinners, how can they go and justify somebody else? They can't justify at all. All have sinned and come short of the grace of God. Then, how can God deal with sinners? You see, how can God tell the sinners to come near to him and offer their bodies as a living sacrifice? Is it possible? It is not at all possible. Hence, God has made a provision. You can't come directly to me, but you can come only through Jesus Christ. If you come through Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, his justification will be imputed on you. And we will be treated as sinless persons. In that way, we can approach God. You see, so this is the gospel age. You see, we are all accepting Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, we are able to go to God and obtain grace, mercy through his throne of grace. But what about the world? When the whole world will be brought back in the 1,000 years, their justification will not be by faith. But there, the justification will be actual justification. The word justification, what does it mean? We see, to make something perfect. You see, to make something that is gone bad into good condition. So the whole mankind have fallen in imperfect condition. To bring them back to the perfect condition, that will be the work of the 1,000 years. All the dead will come back to life. You see, they will come back to life with experience, with knowledge. When Christ gives them wisdom, the truth in the 1,000 years, they will be able to differentiate between the bad and the good, between the evil and the good. So hence, you see, the people will be made perfect based on their obedience to the truth. So they will be justified actually. Now, our justification is by faith. You see, we believe in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. This is all only by faith, only in our understanding. But in 1,000 years, it will be practically happening. As they believe in Jesus, they have to practically show, you see, that they are walking ahead. They are leaving sin and drawing near to God. So there, the justification will have actual impact. Actually, each and every mankind will be brought back to the perfection in which Adam was. Remember Adam, Father Adam, how, you see, perfect he was. He was created on the perfect level. The same level each and every human being, you see, will be brought. That is called as justification in the 1,000 years. That will be actual justification. All the blessings, all the privileges which Father Adam had will be given to each and every mankind. You see, so that is, you see, the actual justification. But now it's just a justification by faith. Okay, so we'll stop here. We will continue next week. Anybody has got any doubts, any questions? Anybody? Anything? Okay. So, in the end, we'll have a word of prayer. Now, I request Brother Gopal to offer a prayer. Gopal, brother, can you pray, brother?
Okay, brother. सर्वशक्तिमान परमेश्वर बुवा जो स्वर्गमा विराजमान हुनुहुन्छ करोडौंको बीचमा हामी तपाईँलाई धन्यवाद जनाउँदछौँ अनि आजको दिनमा तपाईँले फेरि पनि हामीलाई तपाईँको वचन बुझ्नको निम्ति सहायता गर्नुभयो अनि एक साथमा भेला हुनलाई सहायता गर्नुभयो यो सामाजिक सञ्जाल मार्फत अनि परमेश्वर बुवा अनि जति पनि कुराहरू हामीले सिकेका छौँ सिक्नलाई सहायता गर्नुभयो त्यसको लागि धेरै धेरै धन्यवाद भन्न चाहन्छु अझै तपाईँको गहिरा र गुप्तका कुराहरूलाई सिक्नलाई सहायता गर्नुहोस् तपाईँको वचनलाई अझै बुझ्नलाई अझै गहिरिएर बुझ्नलाई र तपाईँको वचनमा गहिरनलाई हामीलाई सहायता गर्नुहोस् र साथसाथै स्व अध्ययनमा पनि परमेश्वर बुवा तपाईँलाई सहायता गर्नुहोस् र अझै गहिरिएर बुझ्नको लागि समयलाई निकालेर अझै अझै पढ्नको निम्ति तपाईँले हामीलाई सहायता गर्नुहोस् धन्यवाद आजको वचनमा तपाईँले आशिष दिनुभएकोलाई धन्यवाद सारा महिमा प्रशंसा तपाईँलाई नश्वर त्यसको पवित्र नाम आमेन
आमेन आमेन थ्याङ्क यू बाई गुड नाइट एभ्रीबडी